Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The 20th branch of the Chaitanya tree was Haridasa Thakur. His character was wonderful. He used to chant the holy names of Krishna 300,000 times a day without fail. Purport by Prabhupada. Certainly, the chanting of 300,000 holy names of the Lord is wonderful. No ordinary person can chant so many names, nor should one artificially imitate Haridas Thakur's behavior. It is essential, however, that everyone fulfill a specific vow to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, we have prescribed in our society that all our students must chant at least 16 rounds daily. Such chanting must be offenseless in order to be of high quality. Mechanical chanting is not as powerful as chanting of the holy name without offenses. It is stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adilila, Chapter 2, that Haridasa Thakur was born in a village known as Budan, but after some time he came to live on the bank of the Ganga at Fulia near Shantipur. From the descriptions of the chastisement by the Muslim magistrate, which is found in the 11th chapter of the Adilila of Chaitanya Bhagavat, we can understand how humble and meek Haridas Thakur was, and how he achieved the causeless mercy of the Lord. In the dramas performed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur played the part of a police chief. While chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Benapole, he was personally tested by Maya Devi herself. Haridas Thakur passing away is described in the Antyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, 11th chapter. It is not definitely certain whether Sri Haridas Thakur appeared in the village named Burdan, that is in the district of Kulana. Formerly this village was within a district of 24 Pargandas within the Satashira division. Agyan Timidandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stabditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudamani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Pastyatya De Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai Hare Krishna. So here in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're hearing a little bit about Haridas Thakur, and specifically what he is most remembered for, and that is that he is called Nam Acharya, or the Acharya who teaches the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And 300,000 names, holy names of the Lord, is, as Prabhupada begins the purport, is certainly very wonderful. And Prabhupada cautions for those who want to imitate not to try it, because it's not possible, because Srila Haridas Thakur is on the platform of liberation. Therefore, his chanting is pure and continuous. He doesn't even... He counts for the sake of counting, but he's constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord. There's never any break in his chanting. So, to come to that stage is perfection. To always remember the Lord, to chant the Lord's name, 300,000 names. That's some devotees have tried to estimate and have come up with 192 rounds a day. So, I think sometimes we struggle with 16. So, I know I do sometimes. So even to chant our prescribed rounds is a struggle, what to speak of 192 rounds a day. And it is mentioned in other places, especially in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Srila Haridas Thakur would chant 100,000 names very loudly. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him in one discussion, Haridas Thakur, how are the non-moving living entities benefited? And Srila Haridas Thakur immediately replied, by the loud chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So, as a pure Vaishnava, who is compassionate for all, he chants very loudly in order to give the non-moving living entities, those who are in bodies, such as trees or plants, similarly, a chance to get purified or get the mercy of the Lord. So he used to chant 100,000 names loudly, another 100,000 names softly. It's called murmur or japa. That's what we usually do. And the other 100,000 names silently within his mind. Of course, Prabhupada said, don't try to imitate that. It's very difficult to perform manasi japa. But it is possible on a higher stage of purification. But this was Haridas Thakur's daily vow. And he would also preach the holy names of the Lord and go from place to place, inspiring others to chant, and also teach the process of pure devotional service. So it was not like that he simply chanted all day and that's all he did. He was also engaged in Krishna consciousness, preaching the mercy of the Lord in different ways. But here, and we hear, and Prabhupada cautions us, or he not cautions, but he qualifies us in the process of chanting, that the chanting, in order to have effect or to purify our hearts and elevate our consciousness, it has to be offenseless. And therefore, when we would perform the initiation ceremony, Srila Prabhupada many times had the devotees recite the 10 offenses to the holy names of the Lord. Because the first initiation, the connection with the spiritual master in the formal way, is called Harinam initiation, like that, where the spiritual master injects with you the seed of bhakti by your commitment to his instructions, his guidance. And that formal ceremony is called Sri Harinam initiation. And therefore, in order to perform the chanting properly, it has to be offenseless. And we know, at least there are 10 fundamental offenses to chanting the holy names. There are others which are what we say subsidiary and not less important. But every day we practice, at least in our temples, remembering what we should avoid. Because in the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or in the process of devotional service in general, there are two principles. One is called nishedas and one is called videyas. Videyas and nishedas. And one is things to do and the other one is things to carefully avoid. So in performing the process of devotional service effectively, it's also just as important to avoid what as it is to important what we should do. Because there are things that take away from the quality of our devotional service and are also very serious offenses which actually destroy our progress in devotional service. So those 10 offenses are recited, and I was just thinking maybe we can just go through the 10 offenses just to get an overview a little bit about each of the ones. So maybe I can ask, if you'd like, to respond, what is the first offense to the holy name? You can raise your hand if you want, yes. Oh. To blaspheme the devotees of the Lord, those devotees who have made their life the propagation of the principles of devotional service. In other words, those who make their life disseminating the mercy of Krishna consciousness to others. like that. So to find fault, to vilify, to criticize, or to any way minimize these personalities is called hasti aparad. The word aparad is the word radha is in the word is there, R-A-D-H-A. And radha, we understand, is the internal personification of the pleasure potency of the Lord manifested as Srimati Radharani. She is Ladini Shakti. So she is the personification of all bhakti. All bhakti resides within Radharani. It's mentioned that any bhakti we have is simply a drop of the bhakti. It's simply of any bhakti we have is simply a drop of the total bhakti existing in Srimati Radharani. Therefore, she's called Bhakti Devi. One of her names is Bhakti Devi. So in that principle, the word apa means against. So against Radha, or against devotion, or against bhakti. So that is the word aparad. So the first offense is called hasti aparad, which is to, you know, criticize or vilify those persons who are making their life. And Prabhupada uses the example of the elephant. I was just listening to a class of one of my godbrothers in Mayapur. And he was explaining this, how the elephant goes to the water and very nicely and carefully goes into the water and washes himself thoroughly. But immediately upon returning to the land, he finds it very pleasurable to throw dust over himself again. And my godbrother explained that the reason why the elephants do that is because to protect themselves from the rays of the sun. Just in case you're wondering why they do that. But the point was that this type of comparison should be very much understood so we can avoid the offense. Because as we're making such efforts in our practice of devotional service to chant, to read, to serve, and to move forward in the process of devotional service, it's very important to carefully avoid, especially this first offense. It's one of the more serious offenses in the 9, 10 offenses to the Holy Name. The second offense, one of the ladies can mention. Who knows? Yes. Uh-huh. So these powerful demigods, Brahman, they are the manifestations, or they're actually incarnations of the guna avatars, or those avatars which are meant to bring about the creation. So Brahma's in charge of creation, Shiva's in charge of destruction. And Vishnu is also mentioned, but he is also manifestation of the principle of maintenance, but he is not in the category of a demigod, but sometimes he is understood in that category for the sake of maintenance. So to compare or to put on the same level or even to put above Vishnu or Krishna, any of the other demigods is considered an aparad, like that. Because it is, it's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita that these personalities get their existence, power, and facility to perform their service from Krishna. Ishvara Parma Krishna Sajidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinde Sarva Karna Karna. So Brahma is empowered to create by the process given to him by the Lord himself, and Shiva is also empowered in the same way. So both of them are dependent on the power of the Lord to do whatever they have to do. So therefore they're subordinate to the Lord and should never be equalized like that. There are a class of people, especially coming from certain areas of the land of India, who put everybody on the same level, right? Yatama tatapat. You're okay, I'm okay. You worship him, I worship them. We worship our grandfather, he is just as good. So everybody is all lumped up in one form of worship, and worship is the goal, and it doesn't matter who you worship because worship is the goal, right? But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, in the very last verse, at the topmost and the most the essence of all worship is the worship of himself as the two-handed form of Krishna. And all other forms of devas who get their power from the Lord are simply honored and also given due, consideration of their position. But exclusive worship, the word is budgete, is simply meant for the Supreme and not for those coming as empowered representatives of the Lord like that. So we see that many monks, many communities who come from India, that they somehow or other amalgamize all the different devas into one and think it's all the same like that. Maybe some of us were like that one time, huh? But we have to get over that. Okay, and the third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master or to minimize the position of the spiritual master and think the spiritual master is simply an ordinary person like that. Although the spiritual master might do ordinary things and maybe even from his background he looks very much like you and me. But because he has been given the empowerment, Krishna Shakti Vihana He Tadva Vartanam, he's been powered by the Lord to do that work. He is seen in represent as the representative of the Lord and worshipped on the same level as the Lord. Although he's not the Lord, he's worshipped on the same level as the Lord, as the Lord's representative in the material world. And to disobey his instructions or to minimize his position is considered an offense to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. There's five ways to minimize or to disobey or disrespect the spiritual master, and that is that if the disciple is unfaithful, disobedient, too familiar, a hypocrite, or duplicitous in his activities, these five ways are the ways that minimize one's relationship with the spiritual master and are considered offensive. And that's mentioned in the pastime with Indra and his spiritual master Brihaspati. When Brihaspati came in and Indra didn't honor his spiritual master, Brihaspati noted that, and therefore later it's discussed what are the different disqualifications of a disciple, and these five are mentioned: unfaithfulness, disrespect or disobedience, hypocrisy, duplicity, and familiarity like that. So therefore, in our relationship with the spiritual master, one has to be very obedient. And Prabhupada said, the obedience goes to such level that even if he's wrong, he's right. Does that make sense? No. But what does that mean? That I might think he's wrong, give me a chance to find out actually how to understand that he actually is right. Immediately I might get that immediate reaction or understanding. And Prabhupada gives his own example in his own life. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was ordered his disciples to kill a snake when the snake had climbed very high into one of the buildings where the devotees were living. Our Srila Prabhupada was there and he questioned that action in his mind, but not verbally. But later on he heard and read the verse in the seventh canto that saintly persons take great pleasures in snakes and scorpions being killed. That's in the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj there, like that. Of course, devotees don't kill anything, but at the same time, it is explained that way because these particular living entities are envious and very much actively trying to cause harm to others like that. So if they're killed, it's not an offense like that. So anyway, this is an example. So very carefully follow the instructions of the spiritual master. One who has implicit faith in the spiritual master, then the whole process of devotional service becomes natural and easy. It becomes natural. Of course, to understand the instructions is part one. To hear them is part one. To understand them is part two. To apply them is actually the complete understanding of the instructions. So all these things are important in our relationship with the spiritual master. So number four is one of the ladies. Huh? Literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. There are many different types of literatures, and many of them are not only, they're not all pure devotional service, but they teach some level of devotion. And therefore, one should not criticize them or minimize them. Prabhupada makes one purport in the fourth canto, I believe it's the 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, to criticize or to minimize other people's processes of religion will simply agitate the mind and make it very difficult to practice devotional service. So one should avoid that. One can make a comparison in order for some philosophical understanding to understand the different levels of bhakti and how they're explained in different shastras. But one should not find fault with others and know that whatever others are saying is on a certain level of correctness, although it may be not be the highest form of understanding like that. So one should very carefully avoid criticizing like that. Number five? Anyone remember number five? Yes, the scriptures really, they really glorify the holy name of the Lord. Really, it's just eulogy. It's just some hyperbole in order to inspire us to chant. It's not really like that. It's all imagination. It's just excess aggrand. It's what we call, it's an overstatement. It's an overstatement, but actually, the verses in the different scriptures are really understatements when they talk about the glories of the holy name of the Lord. Because no one can really glorify the holy name properly, because the holy name is Krishna completely. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. That word nija sarva shaktis means that Krishna has put all his energies, his names, his forms, his qualities, his pastimes, everything. It's the complete manifestation of Krishna. There's nothing outside of the holy name. Krishna's form and Krishna's name are the same. There's no difference. In fact, the holy name is even greater than Krishna's form. Did you know that? How is that? It's more merciful. The element of Adarya, or mercy, is greater in the holy name than worshipping Krishna in his form as Krishna. So it's even more merciful than Krishna. So to consider the glories of the holy name as imagination is one of the offenses. Like that. Number six, one of the ladies, yes. The holy name of the Lord is like, it's like a good swim in the ocean. It's more refreshing than the sunshine in the morning, like that. In other words, to compare it to something, or to give some interpretation, to compare it to something in this world. When Prabhupada started his movement, there was one. He was an interesting person. You've all probably heard of him, Allen Ginsberg. He was a hero of the beatnik hippie generation at the time, great poet, revolutionary, unusual in every way. But he somehow came to India, and when he came back from India, while he was in India, he heard the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So he would chant the holy names of the Lord, and he would chant Mary Had a Little Lamb also. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So he would mix Mary's lamb with the holy name. So, in other words, it's a nice tune. The Hare Krishna mantra is a very nice tune. It's like many other nice tunes. So that's another way to interpret or to compare the holy name to something of this world like that. That's also an offense like that. You can ask questions at the end. We'll get through the 10, for instance, and then if you had any questions, we'll can discuss that. Number 7. It's called Namna Bala Yasya Hi Papa Buddhi, which means that I have the formula. Now I have the formula. I can engage in these other activities and I can chant the holy name and get rid of the reactions like that. This is called sinning on the strength of chanting. So it doesn't work because Krishna removes his mercy and one cannot do it. Now Prabhupada says if one commits a sinful activity or somehow falls into that category of acting in that way accidentally, then one can pick themselves up and chant the holy name and be reinstated in their position again. But to consciously and purposely sin and then try to get relieved from that, that's the offense, something like that. Like there was one very charismatic person who joined Prabhupada and brought many of his followers with him. And then after some time he left, and when he left, he left because he wanted to smoke marijuana and chant Hare Krishna. And so Prabhupada didn't allow it, and so eventually he left the society. But he kept chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the devotees said to Prabhupada, now Srila Prabhupada, he's still chanting Hare Krishna. Isn't there some benefit in that? Prabhupada said, no benefit. Why? Because he's committing sinful activities, he's breaking the principles knowingly and at the same time chanting. Therefore Krishna removes his mercy. And therefore it's not the holy name anymore. It's simply the five letters that make up the alphabet. That's all. KRSNA, like that. So Krishna, although he's non-different from his name, at any time he can remove himself from his name, from the chanter who is offensive, and therefore the chanting, it has no effect at all. So this is one offense that one should carefully avoid like that. Accidentally, it's relievable and permissible. One can again reinstate themselves. But purposely, that's a different program like that. Number 8. Here we go, number 8. This is a fun one, especially amongst Indian communities, right? Huh? Activities which are offered in the... Yeah. So, Krishna says, don't get enamored by the flowery words of the Vedas. He mentions that in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Shri, Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. What is Krishna saying? He's saying that there are many processes of elevation, but the process of bhakti is not in the sections of Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and various other forms of elevation mentioned in the scriptures. So people may say, and do say, well, I do our puja, you do your chanting, we do our worship, you do your whatever you do, and it's all the same. No. So why are you telling me to chant? I'm worshiping. That's just as good. No, it's not. One should understand that Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Haya Sarva Jagat Nistara, which the verse is saying that Krishna has come as the incarnation of his name is the same. All of these other processes may bring you from attachment to material activities to being freed from those attachments, but they don't bring you to the platform of bhakti. They just elevate your consciousness from the lower stages, sometimes getting away from material desires and performing activities that are of the jnana and karma. Karma brings you to the higher planets, karma yoga, and jnana yoga gets you liberation, but again, you fall down. Maruna Kachchena Patampada. So all these other processes of elevation are meant for people who can't immediately adopt the highest process. So hopefully as they move up the stages from one stage to another, they'll actually come to understand the high process and adopt that, which is the process of bhakti yoga. Krishna mentions that in the sixth chapter of Gita, like that. So this offense we see, people very much get, you know, lump it all together like that. It's not like that. The holy name is glorious. The holy name is above all these other activities. And the holy name is pure and can never be, what we say, relegated to any of these other things. One time Srila Prabhupada, I think he was in Nellore, and he had met these very respectable and aristocratic people who wanted to invite Prabhupada to a very elaborate deity installation in their home. They were quite wealthy. So Prabhupada came along with his many disciples, and they made a grand arrangement for Prabhupada to do the puja. And so they had all their Brahmins, and they had all the paraphernalia and all the ingredients. It was very nicely organized. And Prabhupada could see that they were simply trying to make a big show of being very devotional in their the way. So Prabhupada said, just give me a conch shell with some milk. And then they did, and he chanted, Gohuvindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. He poured the milk on the deity and said, deity is installed. Pass. Finished. That was it. But Swamiji, the ceremony, Prabhupada said, deity's installed. He didn't want to play along with their whole big program of all this grand worship, which was simply some pompous show in order to somehow or other give some prestige to whatever they're doing. So Prabhupada, you know, you couldn't fool Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada could see through everything. And so people want to make a big show of religion by doing all these other pujas. But if you do 1,000 million pujas, you give charity to the greatest brahmanas, and if you do asvamedha yajnas, you do go yajnas, and you do so many different forms of austerities, penances, rituals, and follow the Vedas and fast for 1 million years, you don't get the benefit of one chant, one name of Krishna. If you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, one name purely, that's greater than all these things put together. That's the power of Krishna's name. So that's why we should very carefully, as we practice our devotional service, focus on the quality of our chanting. Because everything is there in the holy name. It's the basis of all our advancement in spiritual life like that. So that's verse chat number 8. Number 9 is? Huh? Yeah, we do that sometimes, don't we? We preach to the faithless. Sometimes when we give a public lecture, we don't know who's faithful and who's not. We take that risk sometimes. But what that really applies to, in the essence, is that if someone is not receptive, then don't push it. That's basically the whole thing. If someone doesn't want to accept the fact that the glories of the holy name are everything and you're trying to force it, or somehow using different ways to convince that person against their will, that's considered to be offensive. Why? Because it also hurts that person who you're trying to help. Because if they're being offensive or negative to what you say, then that decreases their enthusiasm to chant the holy names. They become more and more negative. So therefore, we glorify the holy name, and we speak about the glories of the holy name, but not the higher glories of the holy name. We speak about the holy name can purify you from material activities, can bring you to the stage of love of God, We speak like that, but we don't really tell details of the essence of the holy name, how it actually takes us into the spiritual realm, and what is the manifestations of that, the facilities that it brings of us by chanting the holy name. In other words, we don't speak about Krishna's intimate pastimes and relationships to Krishna's name like that. Mahaprabhu avoided that practically 100%. He would only speak very basically on the glories of the holy name, because that's all we could understand. Okay, number 10. Where are we? The men's side here? Ladies' side? Huh? Yeah, we've been going to classes, we've been reading the books, we've been chanting, and we still think, there's something else. The holy name's nice, but, you know, there's other things. No, the holy name's everything. Everything you're looking for is in chanting, not to have complete faith. It's also understood that one stays on the bodily platform. One still considers, I am this material body, and my happiness and success in life is in relationship to putting my body in different situations and gaining material, getting material desires fulfilled. So that's that one. Devotees have to avoid this. I think this is the one that devotees fall into. We still haven't developed, or we haven't come to the stage of developing pure faith in the holy names of the Lord. And therefore, we're still attached to material life. As long as we're still attached to material life, we're still committing that offense like that. One may be attracted to material life, but one should not be attached to it. Attached means that the sense that one knows that material life is simply contrary to my happiness and to my existence as a spiritual being. And that anything material cannot fulfill my ultimate desire for elevation to the stage of devotional service like that. So one should be very careful to avoid that one. And the 11th offense, inattentive chanting. I'm sure none of us have that problem, right? I was beating my mind with 100 shoes this morning trying to chant the japa, my japa. My mind was like, said, forget it, I'm checking out. But I was trying to check him in and he was trying to check out. I actually won the battle at the end, but boy, it was a battle. So, you know, inattentive chanting, we definitely have to work with that. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that if you want to make advancement in spiritual life and you're thinking, where can I put my energy? He says, right here. He says, this is where you can make advancement. Chant the holy names attentively, or work on the quality of that chanting. And Prabhupada would also tell us that. Chant 16 good rounds. So there's three forms of inattention. One is called distraction, one is called apathy, and one is called sleep. Vikshepa, distraction, audakshina, apathy, jadya, sleep. Right. So it's pretty self-explanatory. Distraction is we're thinking about so many other things while we're chanting. We're not focusing on the process of hearing. So bring the mind back to the hearing process, that's all. If you're thinking about your devotional service, that's okay, but it's not as good as hearing the holy name nicely. Better to focus on the holy name. Audakshina means, I got to do it. All right, I'll get it over with. No enthusiasm. It's like you're just making sure you count every round carefully so you don't miss one. It's like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Yeah, only two more to go. Wow. I'm getting there. The idea, if you simply try to finish your rounds without trying to approach the Lord in the mood of devotion, with the mood of calling out for the Lord, then you'll get your rounds done, but that's all. That's it. You won't get much from it. You'll simply fulfill that vow of chanting your 16 rounds, but you won't really get much from it. So put that, and this is very difficult for devotees, put that out of your mind. I've got to finish my rounds. I know we have a tight schedule. We have so many things to do, especially mothers who have children. They have a hard time finding time for even their japa. So I know it's difficult, but still we have to somehow or other arrange our consciousness in such a way that we take the necessary time to chant nicely. So what I do two things. When I have a lot of time, I say, I'm going to chant this many rounds nicely. And when my time is short, I say, I'm going to chant whatever rounds I can within this time period nicely. So I don't try to squeeze more in the time period, nor try to hurry through the other ones. So it's a little bit of a formula you can use. Okay, I have an hour to chant. If I chant 8 rounds, that's nice. If I chant 7, that's nice. But let me chant them nicely. It's not so much the number focus, it's the focus on hearing nicely Krishna's holy name. So that helps us to avoid inattention. And of course, sleep, if we're tired, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do whatever you can to stay awake, but if you're not able to, and to sleep becomes so prominent, then he says, rest now and chant later. So that's if one is very tired. But in any case, one should hear nicely. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur qualifies this and says that if you practice this 11th offense, then you will not be inclined to commit the other 10 offenses. So the inclination for committing the other 10 offenses comes by way of committing the 11th offense. When we have nice, what we say, careful, attentive japa, we can easily avoid the other 10 offenses. Like that. Okay, so any questions on any of these offenses?